I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Ascension Day, and the day that our Lord and Savior, after 40 days, ascended into heaven. And as the angels told the disciples, don't keep looking up in heaven, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And we remember that though Jesus is not with us visibly, that we can see him, he is always with us, as he promised, and enables us to live in his kingdom and to be his church. And we reflect on being his church tonight in the meditation. We sing the opening hymn, 492. 492.
On Christ's ascension I now build the hope of my ascension. This hope alone has always stilled all doubt and apprehension. For where your head is, there as well I know his members are to dwell. When Christ will come and call them, since Christ returned to claim his throne, great gifts for me obtaining, my heart will rest in him alone, no other rest remaining. For where my treasure went before, there all my thoughts will ever soar to still their deepest yearning. Oh, grant, dear Lord, this grace to me, recalling your ascension, that I may serve you faithfully in thanks for my redemption. And then when all my days will cease, let me depart in joy and peace, in answer to my pleading.
The congregation is invited to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light that no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And illumine your church.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. Clap your hands, all peoples.
Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared.
A great King over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us.
And nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us,
the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout,
the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises.
Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth.
Sing praises with a psalm.
God reigns over the nations.
God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham.
For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind,
and continually dwell there with him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. The first reading for Ascension Day is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high.' And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
The congregation can be seated. We sing the hymn, See, the Lord ascends in triumph. 494.
See, the Lord ascends in triumph, conquering king in royal state. Riding on the clouds his chariot to his heavenly palace gate. Hark the choirs of angel voices, joyful alleluia sing, and the portals high are lifted to receive their heavenly King. Who is this that comes in glory with the trump of jubilee? Did suffer, he who from the grave arose, he has vanquished sin and Satan, he by death has crushed his foes. While he lifts his hands in blessing, he is parted from friends, while their eager eyes behold him, he upon the clouds ascends. He who walked with God and pleased him, preaching truth and doom to come, he our Enoch is translated to his everlasting home. Now our heavenly Aaron enters with his blood within the veil. Joshua now is come to Canaan, and the kings before him quail. Now he plants the tribes of Israel in their promised resting place. Now our great Elijah offers double portion of his grace. He has raised our human nature on the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places, there with him in glory stand. Jesus reigns adored by angels, man with God is on the throne. By our mighty Lord's ascension, we by faith behold our own.
The text for this evening's meditation is from the Ephesians 1 passage we just read. To start, I quote again from that first hymn that we sang to open the service this evening, verse 1. On Christ's ascension, I now build the hope of my ascension. This hope alone has always stilled all doubt and apprehension. Listen to these next two lines. For where the head is, there as well, I know his members are to dwell, when Christ will come and call them. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
One way of looking at the Christian church or any congregation in the church is to, well, we could count how many people are in church. We could count the membership rolls. We could count the offerings, and we do all these things. Well, I could think of some unique ways. We could count how many kilowatts the church building uses. I mean, there's so many ways we measure, isn't there? In fact, we just had the church valued. Remember church council? We had a estimator come and give an updated estimate of the rebuild, what it would take to rebuild this building. So many ways to measure. And in the measuring of these ways of measuring, in earthly ways of measuring, then sometimes a church looks good, sometimes a church looks not so good. Sometimes a church looks weak and not strong. These are ways that we need to measure the church for this reason or that reason, but these are not God's eternal measurements. The church is God's. And so the way the church, God's people, are measured are by God's measurements, what he says his people are. And this is in part what Paul writes in this opening chapter in Ephesians. What are you, God's people, to whom he writes? You may have noticed, it's very interesting. I don't know if you noticed it, and I should have pointed it out as I was reading it from Ephesians 1. Did you notice that most of what I read from Ephesians 1 was one sentence long? It's the second longest sentence in the New Testament, in the Greek. The longest sentence is right before it. What he opened up. But in this long sentence, plus one or two extra, he goes on and on and describes God's estimation of the church and what they are. And that's what we're going to think about a little bit this evening. What does Paul tell us and teach us that God's people, we, the church, are? And there's so much here, we just touch on a few points, but enough for us to get some teaching from him. He says to, starting in verse 18, he says what he would like for his readers, for us, and the first readers, to have the eyes of our hearts enlightened so that we may see our hearts, we may know what is the hope to which you have been called. He wants us to know the reality of what we've been called to be God's people. What is that reality? And what are, he says, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? What do we inherit? What is ours as people of God in Christ Jesus? And then the first, and this is where I thought of the term measuring. He says in verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of power towards us who believe. Now he says, okay, so I want your eyes opened and for you to understand how great is God's power to us who believe, how immeasurable it is. You can't measure it. Not in human terms. In human terms, what we are as God's people, what God's church is beyond measure. He continues, according to the working of his great might. Now, what is this immeasurable, immeasurable greatness according to God's great might? There's two things he lists there that show, that give evidence that are God's great might, that we see it. First, he says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We can do many astounding things in our day and age, and past generations and past civilizations have also done amazing things with what they had at that time. But nobody raises somebody from the dead. We know when dead is dead, then that is it, and you have your funeral, you move on, and things change from there. But for God, he raises the dead. And as I've said many times, to Jesus, he calls death sleep. for his people because he can wake them up when he wants to. And when he's ready for them to wake up again and rise from the dead, he will raise them. So here is this immeasurable. How are you going to measure raising from the dead? We don't have a measure for that, except that God does it. Another thing by which we see God's working of his great power and might is that Jesus not only was raised from the dead, but then he ascended and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This again, you can have the greatest scientist, leader, ruler, but a human being like that is not seated at the right hand of God the Father. This is a great and wondrous thing that is beyond our measurements, beyond our capabilities of quantifying what God does in Christ Jesus. It's, as Paul says, it's immeasurable by our standards and our ways. He says that Jesus sits down, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And this is talked about many places in Scripture. Jesus has sat down now at the right hand of God the Father. What is that right hand of God the Father? And I thought of it as I was preaching the 1 p.m. service. I forgot to put it in here. It didn't appear except in the train of thought. And I'll bring it up here. This was actually a point of debate at the time of the Reformation. Where is the right hand of God the Father? You see in the debate between Martin Luther and Zwingli, they were saying, is Jesus in the bread and wine? Is his body really truly in the bread and his blood really truly in the wine? And Zwingli and those who thought like him said, well, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. That was believed, so he can't be in the bread and wine on this altar and the altar over there and the altar around. He can't be there too. So Zwingli was thinking in very measuring terms, human measuring terms, wasn't he? And one of the things that Luther wrote extensively about was that the right hand of God is the power of God, as Paul says here. And you can't limit where Jesus is going to be. If he's sitting at the right hand of the power of God, he's going to do what he does. And if he says he's going to be here, he's going to be here. That's the way it is, because he promised to do it. Think about what he says here then. So where is this right hand in the heavenly places? And Paul says in verse 21, that right hand in the heavenly places is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. It doesn't sound like my Milwaukee tape measure can measure that. Nothing we have can measure what this right hand of God is. It is far beyond all rule and authority and power and dominion. It's beyond our science. It's immeasurable. So if Christ Jesus, our Lord, says he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he also promises to be in his holy supper for us, he can do it. He's beyond our measure. This is the right hand of God, to be with us and to be over all things. And also Paul says that he has a name above every name. Think of all the famous names that we might think of, great names, people living today, people living in the far past, great philosophers, Socrates, or maybe think of great kings, great conquerors, Alexander the Great, which the Bible talks about much in the Old Testament, prophesies what Alexander's going to do. Or we can think of philosophers that are famous in American history, Thoreau or others. But he has a name that is above every name. None compares. None in human history has or will ever be above the name of Jesus Christ and above his rule and authority and power and dominion. And then Paul says, not only in this age, but in the one to come. Forever. All the history of humanity and all going into the history of humanity for however long this earth is like this, and until Jesus reigns again into eternity, nothing is over him. This is his ascension. This is his seated at the right hand of God. One of the commentators I like to use is an old Lutheran commentator. His name is called Lenski, Dr. Lenski. And he points out something then in verse 22, the next verse. First of all, and the he there in verse 22 is God, the Father. The Father put all things under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus' feet. So God the Father, as Jesus ascended into heaven, all things are put under Jesus' feet. What I have on the signboard, what I preached on this past Sunday, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And that goes beyond the universe and beyond what we understand. It is everything in the created order is under him, all under his feet. And then Dr. Lenski says, and then there is an amazing thing that Paul says, and the subject is God the Father, and God the Father gave him, that is Jesus, as head over all things to the church. God the Father gave Jesus as the head to the church. And the church, which is his body. And so all the things that are said about Jesus Christ, all the immeasurable things said about Jesus Christ, we are actually part of that. He is our head. And all the blessings and power and authority and dominion, he takes care of us with all that. Since we are of the created order, we are also under his feet. But what's more than that for us who are Christians, we are part of his body. And for all of creation, they all are under his feet, but we are part of his body. And that, Dr. Lenski says, is a great, wonderful gift, that we would be the part of the body of Christ and he is our head. All that is immeasurable about Christ, this is what we are part of, and he takes care of us. Ascension reminds us that Jesus has defeated death, and not only for a temporary time in this world, but his reign is from this age into eternity. And that we are a part of that. And he calls us to be his witnesses to that. Because this is a great gift to God's people to be a part of Jesus, to have him as our head. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have called us to be your sons and daughters. And we ask you to always build up our faith to know for certain that we belong to Christ and he to us. For you gave him to us. You put us in your holy church. Help us not to see things in our lives by this earthly measurement. So sometimes we need to do this. But help us to see from your perspective your eternal, immeasurable ways of which we belong to you, and you take care of us in Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. The congregation is invited to stand. We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and then also the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church after that.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For lips to sing praises to our King, and for confidence to live in his victory, drawing from his ascension on high, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the proclamation of the Church as she goes into all the world, and to the whole creation with the gospel, that many may believe, be baptized and be saved, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Christ, that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened with the hope to which he has called us in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who make, administer, and enforce our laws, that the Father who has put all things under the feet of Christ would bless them, and let his gospel have free course to the joy and edification of his people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer or grieve, and we remember the family of Sue Hurst, that they may be sustained in their trials and receive comfort and healing from Christ, who is seated in the heavenly places, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray together.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
We pray our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn, Abide, O Dearest Jesus, 919.
Abide, O dearest Jesus, among us with your grace, that Satan may not harm us, nor we to sin give place. Abide, O dear Redeemer, among us with your word, and blessings. Oh.